A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, but not so far away that Disney can't pay $4 billion for it, it's Film Bookcast, the official podcast of filmbook.com. My name is Mike Smith, and joining me, as always, is a man who made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs.
Mike DiCrescio.
How you doing today, Mike?
Good, good. Today is a momentous day for me, because I saw a new Star Wars film.
Exactly. Yeah, you just walked out of the theater, basically.
Yeah, like 2 hours ago.
Yeah, I've already seen the new Star Wars movie twice at this point.
All right, some of us aren't fancy, okay?
Well, I saw it opening night, and I saw it the night after, and we're going to be talking more about that in a little bit. This is a very special episode of Film Bookcast, because Mike and I are dedicating the entire episode to talk about a small independent film that could really use more exposure this holiday season. So we're happy to do our part in raising awareness and hope people go see it. It is the seventh film in a franchise that was my first obsession as a kid, and presumably Mike's as well. We are going to spend this entire episode talking about the Star Wars franchise and specifically its newest entry, The Force Awakens. Are you excited, Mike?
Yeah. How can you not be?
Yes. You just walked out of the theater. Are you feeling like related?
Yeah.
Like, how are you feeling right now?
That I need to see it again is the first feeling, and that it was amazing. It's like super energizing. I don't know how to like explain it.
Right.
I walked out feeling really hyped up and in a really good mood. So.
Yes, that's good. All right, and we're going to be talking more about Star Wars Force Awakens in a little bit. But first, we're going to discuss just some things about the Star Wars franchise. We got some topics to discuss.
Yeah.
Some eighth grade essay questions.
Right.
Talk about in 500 words or less. So, Mike, can you explain to me what Star Wars means to you?
In 500 words or less?
In 500 words or less, you have 30 minutes.
Oh, man. SATs are hard. Well, I mean, Star Wars is one of those things that I remember. I don't even know how old I was, but I was being my babysitter would change from the school year. And then in the summer, like I would go to a different person's house for the summer. And I don't know why, but I did. And the person for the summer had the Star Wars VHS movies, like, on VHS. And
I feel like you've told this story before, but about Jurassic Park or about Terminator.
Like, seriously, though, that's, like, my whole life. Well, Terminator was the school year babysitter, people.
Okay.
Star Wars was the summer, and Jurassic Park was a family friend. So, but that's what we would do. We would go to these, like, go to the houses, and we would just watch the same movies, like, every day. And we would watch Star Wars, and it was awesome. And I feel like that's a common story for people of our age of Star Wars, of, like, you know, the Star Wars franchise. I don't really know. But, like, going to someone's house, and somebody who was older had the VHS, and you would just watch them.
Yeah, definitely. And, Star Wars, for me... I don't have, like, a specific memory of seeing Star Wars for the first time, but I know my dad showed it to me when I was, like, 3 or 4. Like, I was really young.
Real small.
Yeah. And I immediately loved it, and I watched those movies over and over again all the time. It's a franchise that, like, without Star Wars, like, I might not be doing this podcast right now, you know?
Right.
Not just this episode, but, like, more...
But in general.
It was really a gateway drug into, my various movie geekdom, so to speak. And so to that end, Star Wars has been a huge part of my life. And, I'm just super excited to see this movie. You know, I was super pumped, super jazzed. You and I both rewatched the movies before going into Star Wars Force Awakens. So...
Correct.
How did you rewatch the movies? How did you, like, go about doing that? Because there's a couple different ways you can do it.
Yeah, so I watched what's called The Machete Order, which is from a website called nomachetejugglingallowed.com, which I think is just some dude's personal blog, because in the blog post he says, I'm super narcissistic, so I'm titling this The Machete Order in case it takes off. And it did, so now it's called The Machete Order.
Fair enough.
So you watch A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, and then we have a flashback sequence where we go to Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith and then Return of the Jedi. So we cut out Phantom Menace.
Right, just like get rid of it entirely.
Yeah, it's useless, says the argument.
Fair enough. I mean, I think, I feel like you're missing out certain things Like, I'm not going to defend The Phantom Menace. I don't think it's a great movie.
Right. It's tough. It's a tough stance to take.
Right.
The needing to watch Phantom Menace is hard to defend.
Right. But, I mean, I think it's a better movie than Attack of the Clones, for example. And so I feel like you're... And there's stuff in Phantom Menace that is really good that gets overlooked. Like, for example, the Darth Maul lightsaber fight. Or, you know, if you skip Phantom Menace, you're missing Duel of the Fates, which is one of the best music pieces in the entire Star Wars saga.
Okay.
You know, and stuff like that. You're missing out on what I think is arguably one of the best-looking Star Wars movies. Just, like, cinematically, it looks like it's a really good combo of live action and CGI, whereas the later two prequels are very heavily CGI.
I mean, let's be real. The prequels are basically guys in front of a green screen, the trilogy.
Right. Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith are that.
They are that. You're right. That's
Phantom Menace, though. There's a lot of real sets and there's a lot of like real things. Yeah. There's even Yoda's still a puppet in the original
version.
That's
a good point. You're right.
When they released it on Blu-ray, they did a special edition of it where Yoda is now CGI.
Of course they did.
But
why not?
He was originally a puppet in Phantom Menace.
Yes. Well, the whole... you know, that conceit, but the reason for the machete order is that everything the Phantom Menace tells us is either never mentioned again or repeated in the other two prequels, thus making it irrelevant.
Okay.
So it's like, in terms of story, it's an extra movie that you don't need because it's either stuff that doesn't actually play a part in the story, or we're told later on again. So you don't need it told the first time.
Right. Yeah. I think that is the biggest problem with the prequels is that they're made basically just in service of the original movies.
Yes. You know, that's the, I copied and pasted some of the explanation of the justification for them.
Oh, well, go ahead and read some.
So I'll read what the person whose name I didn't write down, but I should have. But if you just Google Machete Order Star Wars, it's the first thing that comes up.
Okay.
All right. So let's see. I guess I'll read what his just the problem with. He says there's two problems with watching it in episode order and two problems with watching it in release order.
Okay.
So problem with watching it in episode order number one is that it ruins the surprise that Vader is Luke's father.
Yes, that's true.
So that's kind of like the whole crux of the story is that reveal, and that if you watch them starting at episode one, it's gone.
Yeah.
Let's see. If you also watch it in episode order, you're watching three movies of background for films you haven't seen yet.
Yes, so, also true.
So it's watching films of background that you don't know what they're setting up is boring, what he's arguing. So, okay, here we go. And then for release order, he claims is an instant failure, and the reason is one single shot. If you're watching the official release and you view the original trilogy first, then after the Empire is destroyed and everyone is celebrating, Luke looks over to his mentors, Ben Kenobi and Yoda. Suddenly, they are joined by a random teenager who needs a haircut. Placing Hayden Christensen in the ending of Jedi, since he's not in any of the other films, turns the ending that should be celebratory into one that is confusing. The fact that Christensen looks like he's undressing someone with his eyes does not help.
That's fair. I mean,
seems like a good point.
That is based on the special edition of Return of the Jedi.
Yes. Yeah. The blog post begins with the segment on the despecialized editions, if you've ever heard of those.
Okay. Original uncut versions you're talking about?
It's fan made. Like, there was a group online that took as many different sources of the original stuff as they could and put them together into a torrent called despecialized editions.
Gotcha.
So that's the closest we can get right now to the official, the original releases.
Right.
So he has a list of the things that are cut out also by skipping episode one. There's virtually no Jar Jar now in the prequels because he has about five lines in episode two and none in episode three.
Yes, that's true.
We no longer have Metachlorians because there's only one reference to them in episode three. And in the context, it could mean something as benign as DNA, as what he says. Because I think the Emperor mentions it at the end. Or Chancellor at that time. We no longer have Jake Lloyd. Sorry, Jake. Sorry, Jake, your acting is terrible, and let's be honest, no one ever really wanted to see Darth Vader as a little boy.
Yeah.
Yep. There's no more confusing Padme's queen switcheroo. The whole subplot with Padme and her decoy makes absolutely no sense. It's clear that it's just so people can interact with Padme without knowing she's queen, but it's incredibly convoluted and pointless.
Sure, yeah.
Less confusing master-apprentice relationships. Darth Sidious is training Count Dooku. Obi-Wan is training Anakin. No other trainee or trainee relationships exist to confuse the backstory. fewer characters to learn about, so the story is more focused on Skywalkers. Nothing about trade disputes. The problem, as of episode 2, is that a group of systems want to leave the Republic, and this is much easier to understand for kids than for trade disputes. Which makes sense.
Right.
No pod racing. Seriously, who gives a shit about pod racing? The action sequence is for the sake of an action sequence, and it goes on forever. A huge number of plot holes surrounding gambling and the subsequent freeing of Anakin are removed as well. And we no longer have a virgin birth. We simply don't know or care who Anakin's father is, and the botched implication that Palpatine knows is removed. So those are the things we take out by skipping episode 1.
Sure.
So.
All right. I mean, yeah, I get that. That does make sense. But I do think, it's Phantom Menace is a more enjoyable movie than Attack of the Clones. From a pure story perspective, I think that's actually a pretty good way to do it. But in any case, I watched the movies in chronological order, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Now, I think if you're watching them for the first time,
yes,
the machete cut's probably the way to go.
Yeah, that's kind of a weird mental leap you have to take for the machete order, is that it supposes you're watching them all for the very first time, yes, and this is the best version of the story.
Right.
But we've all seen them how many times?
Yeah, I've seen it a bunch of times. And, I get that the machete order would work, but I feel like chronological order works fine if you've seen them, as many times as I have. Because then,
that's a good point.
And then you're not as confused when Hayden Christensen shows up at the end of Return of the Jedi.
Right. Yeah.
Even then, I mean, in the regular edition of Return of the Jedi, it's David Prowse, right? Who shows up, the guy who plays Darth Vader in,
I would assume so, yeah,
the series. But the thing is, like, I remember seeing that when I was a kid, because I have that on VHS, and that is the regular edition.
Right.
And I remember seeing that and thinking, who's that guy?
Right. You still don't know anyway.
Because you've never seen Darth Vader, like he just took his mask off, and he looks way different than he does when he took his mask off.
Yeah. I honestly don't remember what he looks like.
He's like an older man with white hair and, like...
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he looks like a normal dude, but, like, I just don't remember that version.
Yeah, and so it does make sense that Hayden Christensen is a better place than Hayden Christensen, because you spend a lot more time with him in those movies at that point. And also in the special, I think the Return of the Jedi is the one that's been changed the most in the special editions, and that also includes, in the special edition of Jedi, after the Empire falls, it cuts to various different planets celebrating the death of the Empire, and it includes planets from the prequels, like Naboo and Coruscant and Kamino, I think, and a bunch of others. It works fine in chronological order for me, but the machete cut sounds interesting.
Yeah, there's also another thing. Well, so when you say chronological, do you mean release order or episode order?
Episode order. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Okay. They talk about another thing in the blog post about how watching Revenge of the Sith right before watching Return of the Jedi makes Return of the Jedi way better, or raises the stakes in some way.
Right, I can see that, because you've seen Anakin fall, and this is Anakin being redeemed.
The Machete Order's claims, is that the story is actually about Luke. So Anakin's arc is important for Luke, because we see how they mirror each other a lot.
Right.
But the final victory isn't Anakin's redemption at the end of Return of the Jedi. It's the defeat of the Empire, which are, they're, allegories for each other in some way. But, hold on. Where's the thing? First time we see Luke in Return of the Jedi, he's entering Jabba's palace, and the musical cue sounds a bit like the Imperial March. The way he enters with the light behind him makes it unclear if it's actually Luke or Vader for a moment. Then we finally see Luke, and he's wearing all black, as Anakin has done in the whole prequels.
Okay.
Then he force chokes Jabba's guards, which is something we've only ever seen Vader do before. So no one else in the series has force choked somebody until Luke does it to the guards. Then, when he confronts Jabba, he warns him that he's taking his friends back. He says Jabba can either profit from this or be destroyed. Now, we've just heard Anakin say something, a similar threat to Obi-Wan, don't make me destroy you.
Yeah.
As having watched Revenge of the Sith right before. Furthermore, he tells Jabba not to underestimate my power, which is also a quote Anakin says to Obi-Wan. The last time this phrase was used, it was the same duel with Obi-Wan. When watching Jedi on its own, Luke seems to just be arrogant in this scene. But when watching Jedi immediately after watching Revenge of the Sith, the message is clear. Luke Skywalker is down, is on the path to the dark side. So okay. It makes Jedi a little more powerful. And also in Revenge of the Sith, we see Chancellor at the time, Palpatine, defeat Yoda. So when Luke is facing off with the Emperor, we know that he's more powerful than Yoda.
Right.
So it raises the stakes for that as well.
That's interesting. Yeah. All right. Yeah, you've convinced me that Machete Cut sounds pretty cool.
Or at least putting the prequels in the middle.
Right. As like an extended flashback sequence. But so how did you react to the individual movies? Like out of all of them, what was your favorite? What was your least favorite?
Oh, man. I think probably Empire Strikes Back is my favorite.
Yeah, mine too.
Yeah.
Because it's the best.
Yeah, it's just so good. I had forgotten, like, it had been a long time since I had watched Star Wars or any of them.
Right.
And I forgot how funny they are also, throughout most of it. And yeah, I don't know.
The original trilogy is definitely really funny. And
yeah, super funny.
You know, the prequels tried to be funny sometimes. Phantom Menace tried to be funny. Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith have some funny banter.
Right.
But for the most part, they're pretty, like, dour. Yeah, our movies.
Pretty much. But yeah, I don't know. Empire Strikes Back, even though it ends on a pretty big downer, it's still, I don't know. It works the best for me.
Yeah, no, me too. And then what did you not like? What was your least favorite out of all of them?
I don't know. Revenge of the Sith is like, okay, but nobody talks like that ever, and it just is bad. I don't know. What's your least favorite?
My least favorite of the saga is Attack of the Clones.
Okay, yeah.
A movie that has a couple, the last half hour of Attack of the Clones is solid. I
like the battle at the end.
Yeah, the stuff on Geonosis is really fun.
Yeah.
But everything leading up to it, Anakin and Padme's relationship, is one of the most painful things I've ever watched.
It's so stupid.
I can't believe I've watched that movie as many times as I have, because I can't, like...
Yeah,
because I can't stand them together. They're the worst. And Hayden Christensen—they
are pretty terrible.
Hayden Christensen and Natalie Portman are really wooden in those roles, and the writing is really bad. And you know, it's really rough. But there is good stuff in there. You know, like Obi-Wan going to check out Jango Fett's lair.
Right, that was really cool.
Yeah, and the fight with him and the whole. I remember seeing Attack of the Clones in theaters, and the whole chase that Obi-Wan and Jango have in space.
Through the asteroids.
Yeah, through the asteroids. I remember that was the first time I ever noticed sound design in a movie.
Really?
Yeah, the sound that the bomb makes that Jango leaves has this really cool like silence for a minute and then just like boom.
Right.
And it was the first time I ever like kind of picked up on like what they were doing and it.
That kind of describes every sound in Star Wars though. But you're right. That is a really awesome moment.
That love story really drags the movie down. And there's other stuff that doesn't work for me. But, every attempt at banter in that movie just feels kind of forced. I think the banter in Revenge of the Sith works a lot better. The first, 10 minutes where it's just Obi-Wan and Anakin, in spaceships, just going, fight.
Yeah.
That opening 10 minutes of Revenge of the Sith make me wish the entire prequel trilogy was just,
Just a space battle.
Just Obi-Wan and Anakin being like war buddies. I think that would be great.
That would have been so much cooler. That's instead really of what having it him been. Just be like a whiny asshole the whole time.
Yeah. but in any case. But the whole series I love. And the prequels I've watched a bunch of times. Those are the ones that came out when we were growing up. And so,
right.
In a weird way,
we were robbed, basically.
Yeah, I recognize that they're not that good, but I have a certain affection for them. I've seen them a lot. And I do sort of respect the fact that they were trying to do something really different with Star Wars, you know?
Yeah.
Star Wars, the original trilogy, took a lot of influences from war movies and samurai movies and old sci-fi serials and kind of mashed them all together. Whereas in this prequel trilogy, it has some of those influences as well, but it's trying to be a sort of political thriller as well.
Yeah.
And, it tries to do something different, and I don't think it totally succeeds, but it's interesting to watch regardless, I think.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. They're not the best, but they do try to be unique or try something new for the series.
Exactly.
So they're worth it in some regard.
Yeah, and there's stuff in each prequel movie that I do like. I mentioned the Darth Maul fight in Phantom Menace. That's probably the best lightsaber fight in any Star Wars movie.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
And Attack of the Clones has that final thing with on Geonosis, and like even that has, you know, Yoda fighting Count Dooku, and it's awesome.
Right, that was super cool.
You know, and Revenge of the Sith has some good stuff, like the opening 10 minutes. I also like how I'm gonna get more into this during our Force Awakens review, but the way that certain parts of the prequels echo the original trilogy, like yeah. George Lucas has called the entire saga as a sort of poetry, where each chapter kind of rhymes, and so. But that's why you have, like, Anakin's hand getting cut off in the middle chapter of the trilogy, just like right. Luke's did, you know?
Right.
And the fight between Anakin and Dooku in Revenge of the Sith is shot to look exactly like the fight between Vader and Luke in Return of the Jedi. You know, because
right.
they're right in front of the Emperor, and it's, like, clashing right in front of him.
Right. Yeah,
in both scenarios. So, you know, there's stuff like that that I think is interesting. And that's that is the main reason why... I would say 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3 is probably just the way to go, release order, if I was
right.
to watch them, because you get those echoes and you get those callbacks. But mm-hmm. I watched them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 this time around, mostly because I wanted to end with the good movies.
Right. Yeah.
As I was leading into The Force Awakens.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting to have the... well, I mean, it kind of just speaks to Star Wars, that how much... fan theory and, you know, how many different orders are there to watch them in. It's
yeah.
just, it's a whole universe for the fan. I mean, literally there are, is, you know, Star Wars universe in the books and stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, just for the films, how much people love these movies.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I did want to ask you about Return of the Jedi, because, you know, Return of the Jedi has always been my least favorite of the original trilogy.
Yeah.
But, you know, watching it again as this... you know, in watching them all in quick succession, I thought it worked really well as a conclusion to the saga.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not as such as a standalone story, but like as the ending chapter, that I feel like it's a little all over the place, but there's so much fun stuff in there that I really got a lot out of it this time around. Did you get the same?
Yeah, I think as you know, I read the Machete Order thing, having Revenge of the Sith and Return of the Jedi back to back actually really does make Return of the Jedi better or more enjoyable. It works as a closure much more, I think.
Yeah.
Although it still, like, drags on in a lot of places. I don't know. It's not bad. I mean, yeah, it's not bad. It's just not the best of the three, the
okay.
original three.
Yeah, I mean, just watching it, like, because I watched 4, 5, and 6 in, like, a day apart, each one.
Mm-hmm.
And so watching it in, that close succession, I had a blast watching it. I thought it was, like... way better than I had remembered it being. And I always liked it, but, like, I don't know. I just felt like even if it doesn't work on its own, I feel like as a conclusion, like, if
yeah.
I'm going to watch it, I'm going to watch it at the end, after watching
oh, yeah.
4 and 5, you know?
Definitely, yeah. That's I think that Return of the Jedi has to be the last one you watch.
Yeah.
Definitely. Because my only thing is I had watched, I think, Attack of the Clones, Revenge of the Sith, and then I started Return of the Jedi in one, like, all in one day. And
okay.
I was like, I gotta go to bed, I'm stopping. But I think I had made it to when they get to the Ewoks. And I was like, this is just taking so long. I need to go to sleep. Like, like when they think C-3PO is a god. Like, that whole scene. Like that whole. I mean, it's funny, and it's, like, it, you know, it serves a purpose.
Right.
But it just took a long time, I
yeah.
think.
All right, fair enough. All right, so that's our Star Wars rewatch. Before we get into our review, I did want to ask, so the news broke about 3 years ago that Disney had purchased Lucasfilm for $4 billion.
Okay.
And immediately announced that they were going to be making a new Star Wars trilogy.
Right.
Now, do you remember where you were, or do you remember how you reacted when you found this out?
Not specifically. I don't remember where I was. I remember being excited, obviously, that they're making new Star Wars things.
Right.
But I get the feeling that you remember where you were. But...
I do, because it was really funny. So I was on I was on Twitter in my dorm room. This was back when I was in college. I was on Twitter in my dorm room on my computer.
Mm.
And, you know, I was kind of just like clicking, like, click more tweets. So I was like, bored, you know, whatever. And then I shut off my computer and went to the dining hall because, you know, some of my friends meet at the dining hall.
Yeah, classic college.
So shut off my computer, shut off Twitter. Went to the dining hall, got some food, sat down at the table, eating. And then my buddy EJ, he's like surfing Twitter on his phone. And he says to me, hey, you know, they're making a new Star Wars movie. And I was like, what? No, that's not true. I would have heard about it. Like, that's...
Yeah, come on.
Like, the entire internet would be exploding. Like, that's...
Yeah.
And it's like, no, right here, Disney bought Lucasfilm. And I was like, what, you're out of your mind. but just to check, I opened up Twitter again. And the next tweet after I had closed Twitter...
Oh, my God.
Like, literally the next tweet. Like, yeah. I saw the previous tweet. It was something
else. If you had waited 30 seconds.
If I had waited 30 seconds, I wouldn't have gone to dinner because I would have been... So I would have just been reading about Star Wars. The next tweet after I had gone out, after I had left, after I shut it off, was about how Disney had just bought Lucasfilm for $4 billion and was making a new Star Wars trilogy. And after that tweet, every tweet after it was about Star Wars.
Yep. until yesterday.
Until a day ago. Because Everybody was busy watching Star Wars, and then after.
And then they took a day, and then they tweeted about it again.
Yeah. It was. I had a pretty strong reaction to it. I was pretty because George Lucas wasn't like the thing is the big announcement is that George Lucas was not going to be involved with the Star Wars movie, right?
That was the big thing for everyone.
Yeah, and so as much as I love George Lucas, like he created this entire franchise, but he also did the prequels, and nobody likes the prequels,
right? And then it never stopped putting out different editions of them,
right? And so a lot of people had this antagonistic relationship with George Lucas and the franchise, and. You know, this news came out that George Lucas sold Lucasfilm, that Disney was making a new Star Wars movie. And I don't think... Like, I had never expected to see a new Star Wars movie again.
Yeah, I thought that was it. I thought it was over.
I thought the story was complete. There was never going to be another one, at least while George Lucas was alive, you know?
Right.
And now I've seen a new Star Wars movie in theaters twice already, and you just walked out of the theater today. Like,
yeah. What a crazy future we live in, Mike.
Yeah, we're now in a world where we're going to have a new Star Wars movie every year for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I want them all right now.
I mean, like part of me is worried that they're going to oversaturate it, you know, that there's going to be
it's
a little too much, but at the same time, like, oh, they all sound really good.
And as long as they're good, I don't care how many there are.
Yeah, so I had a pretty strong reaction to the news of Episode 7, and I've, you know, been just very pumped and cautiously optimistic. I remember where I was when J.J. Abrams was announced as director as well, because I was also in a dining hall at college.
Spent a lot of time eating and trolling Twitter.
you know, that news was exciting. Did you, how did you react when you found out J.J. Abrams was directing?
I was pumped. I'm a big J.J. Abrams fan. I had faith.
Okay, yeah. I mean, he was like, he always came across to me as like the safe choice, you know?
Yeah.
Like before he was announced, like he was one of the people who I thought might get it because his Star Trek movies are basically Star Wars movies.
Right.
You know, like they're, yeah. they have much more in common with Star Wars than they do with Star Trek.
Right.
Or classic Star Trek, I should say. And so like he was in, like he just seemed like a person who would get it. And he did. And, you know, he was a safe choice, but I think he, I won't say whether he delivered or not, because we're going to get into...
I remember people being upset that, you know, he was crossing the streams, so to speak, by doing both Star Trek and Star Wars.
Right.
And they were afraid that he was going to ruin the series.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, the only real goal that he needed to cross was that it had to be better than the prequels, right? That was,
right.
Like...
I think that was his whole... It's one hurdle was don't be Attack of the Clones.
Right, exactly. And we're gonna discuss whether he achieved that goal right now in our full length review of Star Wars: The Force Awakens.
Who are you?
I'm no one.
The of stories about what happened.
It's true. All of it. The dark side. A Jedi.
It's calling to you. Just let it in.
All right, that was from the trailer for Star Wars The Force Awakens. The movie is directed by J.J. Abrams, written by J.J. Abrams and Lawrence Kasdan, who wrote Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. It stars Daisy Ridley, John Boyega, Oscar Isaac, Adam Driver, Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher, Mark Hamill, Domhnall Gleeson, Andy Serkis, Max von Sydow, Lupita Nyong'o, Gwendolyn Christie, and several others. The IMDb plot synopsis, and I debated putting this in here because people just people look at this movie and think like they don't want to know anything. This is as bare bones plot synopsis as it gets, courtesy of IMDb.
Yeah, for a change.
Yeah. Three decades after the defeat of the Galactic Empire, a new threat arises. The First Order attempts to rule the galaxy, and only a ragtag group of heroes can stop them, along with the help of the Resistance.
All right.
So, it's a Star Wars movie.
It is a Star Wars film. Yeah, basically.
So, I mean, Mike, you just came out of Star Wars Force Awakens.
Yes.
I think it's safe to say that you enjoyed it.
Enjoy would be an understatement. Yes.
All right. So, I mean, what did you like about the movie? Give me some thoughts.
Well, for starters, the movie is a thing that I liked. Because basically all of it, everything about it was great. Daisy Ridley and John Boyega together are my new favorite humans. BB-8 is the savior of everything. I want BB-8 forever.
Right.
Poe is Bay, I guess. I don't know.
You're running out of adjectives.
I'm running out of everything. I don't know. I don't know what to say because it was great. It was so. It's fun. There's way more action, I think, in this one than like overt action scenes than the other films.
Right.
But they like actually serve a point, and like stuff is happening during them, and it's awesome.
Yeah. I also really, really, really enjoyed Star Wars The Force Awakens. I think the movie's greatest strength are its new characters and the casting of those characters. All of them are fantastic. Rey, played by Daisy Ridley, is a terrific hero. Finn's story is one that we haven't really seen in Star Wars before, and that's something we'll talk about in spoilers. I really liked Oscar Isaac as Poe. I wanted to see more of him. He leaves the movie for a long period of time, and you know that's a little disappointing because he's really great in the movie. He makes a huge impression, like immediately.
Yeah,
just
right out of the bat.
Yeah,
he's great
right out the gate. And Adam Driver as Kylo Ren is fantastic.
Yes,
and I'll talk about that character a lot more in spoilers. And we're only going to talk about this movie a little bit before we get into spoilers because there's a lot of things that.
I don't want to
dive into, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think the closest analog to this movie is J.J. Abrams' own Star Trek reboot, you know? It's sort of a remix of what's come before with the series, but with a kind of a new spin on it. And to that point, I mean, this film shares a lot of similarities to the original movie.
Oh, right? Yeah, a lot.
To the point where I think it's a little derivative.
Almost. Yeah,
just a little bit. But I think it sets it up really well, and it introduces all this. It brings us back into this world really well, and it's just really great to have a new Star Wars movie that really capitalizes on what people like about Star Wars. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. It feels like Star Trek, but it's less rebooty than
right because this is a direct sequel to
right. It's an actual sequel,
the original trilogy,
and it's less derivative than Creed was of Rocky. I think because.
I mean, well, we can talk about that if you want. I mean,
just because you said it.
I feel like I was actually thinking about that when I saw this, because Creed had a very similar thing. So I guess, like this shares a lot of plot elements with the original movie, A New Hope. Creed shares a lot of plot elements with the movie Rocky. I feel like Creed does that a little bit better, personally. Okay. Just because Creed really delves into the emotional backstory of its character, and this movie...
Right.
doesn't have the time to do that. It delves into a lot of emotions very well, but yeah. You know, Creed is about one character, whereas this is about, you know, a whole group of characters and situations that are decidedly very similar to the original
That's
group of characters
and
situations.
That's true. That's a good point. But it also, it's interesting, I noticed too, I think almost all of the films are the same, are 2 hours and 15 minutes in the saga.
They're around that. Yeah.
They're all in the same area. So it's interesting now. I think a lot of movies today are way long, or, you know, 2 hours, 2.5 hours or something like that. And this film could have easily been 2.5 hours, 2 hours and 45 minutes. And it might have benefited from that to be able to explore the new characters much more in depth. However, we are going to get two more. We, like, guaranteed at least two more films with them.
Yes.
So I'm not too worried about it. But
definitely, yeah. Yeah.
It did handle them well, though, for the first, like, the introduction film of them.
Right.
And especially Kylo Ren has some really cool stuff going on.
Yeah, yeah, I'm really excited to see more of that character. And he's a terrific villain. And I don't know if I should say this yet, because it's, like, spoilers.
It's probably a spoiler. I don't know.
If I have to think about it, then
yeah.
But, you know, it's great. It's great to see all of the old characters again too. I think Harrison Ford in particular does great work. Returning to Han Solo. How did you feel about seeing all those old characters again? Like,
It was awesome. It was just it's just fun. I feel like also too, Harrison Ford has kind of had this like curmudgeonly thing going on for a long time, but he seems to have like shed that now after going back to Star Wars.
Yeah, I think there's a reason for that, and I'm going to talk about that later, too. But, you're right. He's been very curmudgeonly and has been, like, actively not that big of a fan of the role of Han Solo in the past.
Yeah.
So it was crazy that he came back for the movie, and he worked really well. Like, he slips into the role right away. And just seeing him and Chewbacca on screen again.
Oh, yeah.
It's fantastic.
It's so much fun.
And Chewie has a lot of the biggest laughs in the movie as well.
Yeah.
BB-8. My new favorite thing. I love
him. Oh my god. Yes.
Yeah. And this movie is really funny. There's a lot of humor and a lot of great dialogue in the movie. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of really great banter back and forth, which is what Star Wars is all about.
Right. Yeah. Rey, Finn, and BB-8 are the new, like, I don't know, new whatever. They're the best. They were so much fun to watch together.
Yes.
And Rey is the fucking coolest. Like, I don't know. Like, everything about her as a character was perfect.
Yeah.
Like, down to her yelling at Finn for grabbing her hand while they're running away. Like, all this stuff that the original trilogy does, you know, with Leia and Han, this film is like, nah, fuck that. And it does it so much better and handles it in the 2015 way, which was nice.
Yeah, I mean, I do think Leia is a great female character in the original movies. Like,
absolutely.
And Rey kind of takes that legacy and runs with it as well. I think 2015 has been a really great year for strong female characters in blockbusters.
Definitely.
You've had Furiosa in Mad Max. You've had Rebecca Ferguson's character in Mission Impossible. And now you've got Rey in, like, really the lead role of this movie. She is the star.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's the focus of this presumably trilogy.
Yeah, well, yeah, it'll be a trilogy.
Well, I meant presumably that she is the focus.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, and definitely. And, you know, I've seen the movie twice now. I think I enjoyed it more the second time. I feel like, you know, the first time there's this, like, gigantic weight of expectations on it, and I was sort of, like, wondering when certain things were going to happen. Like, once I started picking up that it was, like, a redo of A New Hope...
Right.
I was sort of waiting for certain things to happen, and I was also sort of waiting for certain characters to appear that hadn't appeared yet, and so now when you're seeing it the second time, you know what's happening. You're not waiting for certain characters to appear because you know when they appear.
Yeah.
And so I think that it improves with that second viewing. I do think the film jumps over certain plot elements with, like, a brisk sense of pacing.
Yep.
So I think there are things to nitpick about the film's plot, but I think it largely works in the moment. Like, there's not much that I really have to complain about while I'm watching the movie.
Yeah, you know? Definitely not. Especially on a first viewing, it's all positive for me. I don't, I'm going to see it again,
right?
Is what I'm saying. But that's when I'll have to, you know, I'll be off the hype train at that point, hopefully. And I'll be able to actually view it in terms of, you know, analysis, quote unquote. Yeah, basically, this was just pure fan. I didn't think about any of that at all.
Yeah, and it does go into some fan service every once in a while. There are things in the movie that really just, like, go into that. And I think mostly it works. There's a lot of good stuff in there. But, yeah, I mean, it just feels good to have a new Star Wars movie in theaters again that is, like, a real Star Wars movie, you know?
yeah.
Like, it really carries the spirit of the original trilogy very well.
Right. It's not all like, oh, sad emo, we're going to the dark side, like, boo, like the prequels were or right. are. This is exciting. It's big.
Exactly, yeah. Compared to the original trilogy, how do you think this stacks up?
I don't know. I think I had more fun watching Force Awakens, but I don't know if that necessarily equals better movie. You know, does that make sense? I'll have to watch it again.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I would probably put it on par with Return of the Jedi, maybe a little bit lower. You know, it's really good. I really, really enjoyed it. And ultimately, that's all I really needed, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I enjoyed it. That's enough,
yeah, it's a really, really fun movie, really great Star Wars film. And it's just awesome to have new Star Wars, as I've said like 5 times already.
I know that's kind of what this whole episode is going
to
be.
Yeah, it's just really great to have new Star Wars. I think J.J. Abrams really knocked it out of the park, you know?
Yes, I'm real excited for what Rian Johnson will do.
Yeah, that's exactly, like, J.J. Abrams has set it up so well. I feel like, you know, all the characters are there. Rian Johnson can really do something really awesome with this. and this movie ends in such a way that really, like, establishes like a new status quo and like a really exciting opportunity for the franchise to grow. You know, it won't, like, I'm hoping that that one's not just a redo of Empire Strikes Back. That's gonna be
right,
it'll be its own thing. And I think with Rian Johnson at the helm, it will be its own thing. So
I texted one of my friends that I was very excited, you know, for to see what Rian Johnson can do. And he said, what if it's just 2 hours of Luke trying to catch a fly in the Jedi Temple with the Force? So, which is amazing. Yeah, so good job on that one, Colin.
I would love that, actually. That probably
yeah, right? That's what I said. I was like, I would watch the shit out of that. Great.
All right. Well, there's a bunch more that we want to talk about the movies, so I think we should get into spoilers starting right now.
Careful you must be when sensing the future, Anakin. The fear of loss is a path to the dark side.
All right, so spoilers for Star Wars The Force Awakens starting right now. So the plot of this movie has been kept very under wraps, very tightly under wraps. And one of the biggest speculations about the movie is that you don't see Luke Skywalker in any of the marketing.
Right.
Like, he's not in any of the trailers or anything like that. And there's a reason for that. It's because at the beginning of this movie, the opening sentence of the title crawl is, Luke Skywalker has vanished.
Right.
And the entire movie is about them searching for Luke Skywalker, who only appears in the last, like, 30 seconds of the movie.
Yeah.
So, that's part of why the movie worked better for me the second time around, was because I wasn't waiting for Luke to appear the entire time.
Right. That's a good point, actually. Yeah. there was a bunch of moments when I was like, now Luke's going to show up. Now Luke's going to show up. And then he didn't.
Right. So he only appears in that final scene where Rey presents his lightsaber and his father's lightsaber to him. Right. And it's a fantastic final scene. I thought that was, like, awesome, a really great shot, the way the camera moves around, like, circling around them. And, you know,
just... I wish they had, like, said something, because it's, like, a pretty awkward, like, it's not actually awkward, but it just kind of is a long, like, hold of them looking at each other with their hand out for, like, a good 15 seconds. And, like, somebody could have said a word. Like, I don't know. Not that it actually matters.
Like, how long do you expect me to hold this lightsaber?
Yeah. Like, we're just like, I don't know. Luke could have said anything. I don't know. Who knows? Yeah. But it was still awesome. It was still a cool moment.
Yeah.
The helicopter shot.
Yeah. So part of me was a little disappointed that Mark Hamill was not in the movie very much.
Yeah.
Because that's part of what I was pretty excited about, was him, like, seeing him in the movie again.
Yeah.
But... obviously, he's going to play a big role in episode 8.
Yes.
So there's that. And I think the movie builds up to his appearance very well.
Mm-hmm.
One of the big reveals of the movie, Kylo Ren is Han and Leia's son, Ben Solo.
Yes.
Which I think is a really great reversal of the father-son dynamic that has dominated the series so far. You know, normally.
Oh, whoa. Yeah. Like I said, I didn't pay any analysis to the film at all. So, yes.
That's good. I'm glad we're podcasting about this.
Good job. Let's do this, Mike.
So yeah, I mean, what did you think of that reveal? How did you how did that dynamic change the villain for you?
It's interesting. It makes it. I mean, the saga has always kind of been about, you know, it's the dark and the light side. You know, the struggle back and forth.
Right.
But to have him be Han's son, it changes it because we now have six movies of his. Like, we have his backstory already in a weird way. Like, we know what his father is like. Whereas the other films, we don't know anything about Darth Vader until
the prequels, yeah.
Right. So, I don't know. It makes that more interesting, I guess. I don't know.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Well. Shut up, Mike.
I thought... Kylo Ren was a really cool villain, as played by Adam Driver. I've seen him compared, actually, a lot to Anakin Skywalker in the prequels. And he's a much more interesting version of what those movies were trying to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and Kylo Ren is like this kind of whiny brat who's trying to live up to a legacy that he can't live up to. Right. You know, like imagine if your parents were Han Solo and Leia.
And Leia. What could you do?
Like two of the most important people in the galaxy.
Right.
You know, how
you just got to be some schmo.
Yeah, how do you live up to that? And I could definitely see Kylo Ren's... Like, you could imagine what his childhood was like him just being frustrated at, like, having to live up to his parents kind of thing. Yeah. And, you know, training under Luke Skywalker, being Force-sensitive because he's part Skywalker because he's Leia's son.
Right.
You know, training under Luke and being seduced to the dark side like Anakin was. And this movie kind of takes you further than the prequels do because that's, like, the lead-up to Darth Vader happening.
Yeah.
But this is really interesting because, Darth Vader happens out of, like, necessity, almost. Because Anakin is almost killed in the battle with Obi-Wan. He's, like,
right.
like horribly disfigured. And, like, he's kind of put together as, like, this half-robot creature, Darth Vader.
Right.
Whereas Kylo Ren / Ben Solo is just trying to live up to somebody else's legacy. He's trying to be Darth Vader. But he doesn't. He's not out of necessity Darth Vader. He's just this guy trying to live up to that legacy.
Yeah, I mean, he literally puts on the role of Kylo Ren in the helmet. Like,
yeah, like he takes off his mask and he's just a guy.
Yeah, he's like a normal dude.
Yeah, his hair is even similar to Anakin Skywalker's hair.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, he feels that he's not. He's afraid he'll never be as powerful as Darth Vader. You know, we learn that. Yet he is like way more powerful than he was already, as from the abilities we see him have.
We see him do a lot of cool stuff. He force freezes a blaster fire.
Yeah, he stops a blaster. Like what?
Yeah, that's pretty nuts.
That's nuts. He can force paralyze people and whatever, read people's memories, which, I mean, we've seen, you know, the force be used to read people's emotions, like, you know, that's the kind of the whole thing is everyone feel your feelings. But he like literally can read people's minds, like their thoughts and memories and stuff, right. Which I think is new for this.
Yeah, no, I've never seen that before. And yeah, I mean, Kylo Ren is obviously very powerful in the force. More so than probably anybody we've seen in the series before.
Yeah, with the exception, I think he teleports at one point. Like, I don't know if
with the exception of Rey, I think is also super powerful with the Force to the point where it's like, whoa, slow down.
Yeah. Like, but it's a really cool moment, though.
Yeah, no, she
when she fights off him reading her memories.
Yeah, and everything Rey does is awesome. I'm not.
Yeah,
that's I'd say that's not the case, but I think. It's interesting the way that J.J. Abrams kind of just skips over all of the training, you know? Like, the original trilogy, Luke's not a Jedi until Return of the Jedi, and even then he's not, like, a real one.
Right. That's a good point.
You know, I think one of my favorite jokes was in The Simpsons, where
what a surprise.
Where Mark Hamill guest stars, and he's, like, fighting one of the mob guys. And one of the mob guys is like, ah, you're all talk, Hamill! You never even finished Jedi school!
Oh man, yeah. But apparently, Rey just has the ability.
Yeah, which makes me think she's it's heavily hinted that she's some kind of descendant of one of the main characters. I think.
Yes. Yeah. Although apparently, I don't know. Did you read? Have you read the cameo lists?
I've seen some cameos. I'm aware of some cameos. Yeah.
Of Ewan McGregor's cameo?
Yes, heard about that.
We're in spoilers, I guess.
Yeah, so. I didn't notice it in the movie, but I
read neither did out. I. Yeah. But apparently, the scene when Rey touches the lightsaber, she has like this big flash of memories, and she's like, sees the future a little bit, and like all this, like when she becomes exposed to the Force, I guess, or becomes aware of it.
And Ewan McGregor has like a voice cameo.
And
for, like, says, one line. So does Rey. Frank. So does Frank Oz as well as Yoda.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't notice that when. What? In that scene?
Yeah, in that scene. There's like a whole bunch of stuff. They also take an excerpt from Al Guinness, one of his lines as well.
I think I had heard that, which is awesome. But he said, Ewan McGregor says, like, Rey, these are your first steps or something like this.
Right.
So, like, I mean, we're established that Obi-Wan's immortal, I guess. And well, so is Qui-Gon, according to Revenge of the Sith.
Right. I mean, they can come back as Force ghosts.
Yeah, as Force ghosts.
I believe it's the official term.
I'm sure it is, which is awesome. Oh, Star Wars. Just put the word Force in front of whatever you're doing, and that's what it is. I don't know. I mean, having only seen the movie or gotten out of the movie 2 hours, 2 or 3 hours ago, maybe she's related to Obi-Wan in some way, specifically Skywalker.
Yeah, I've heard that bandied about as well. I could see her being Luke's daughter. I could see her being Han and Leia's daughter, because of the way her relationship with Han worked out in the movie. Like, they were finishing each other's sentences. She was really good with Millennium Falcon. He mentions that Chewie liked her a lot.
Right, yeah, that's true. That's a good point. And it would also just draw another parallel to the Skywalkers. I mean, more Skywalkers.
Yeah, there can never be enough Skywalkers.
Yeah, but just more twins.
Yeah. I've also heard one really crazy idea that I think would actually be really cool, which is that she's somehow related to Emperor Palpatine.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Right? That would be insane. What? But if it's a Star Wars movie, that means her and Finn have to be brother and sister. But probably not.
Probably not. But I think that would be really interesting to have, like, the granddaughter of Emperor Palpatine or something.
Yeah, that would be crazy.
Like, as a hero in this movie, like, it'd be interesting. I don't know how it'll all shake out in the end. I expect Episode 8 might answer some questions, but...
but probably ask some more.
Maybe, you never know.
It's a J.J. Abrams thing. It's gotta be confusing.
I mean, that's not really J.J. Abrams. That's more a Damon Lindelof thing that happens to involve J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, true.
So in any case, we should get to the big spoiler, like the big moment of the movie, which is that Kylo Ren, Han Solo's son, Ben Solo, kills Han Solo.
Han Solo, I was not expecting that to happen at all.
It is an incredibly emotional moment that hits really hard, and everything about that moment is so perfectly staged. The sound is awesome. I mean, we haven't mentioned John Williams' score in this movie, but it's terrific as always.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing really new to it, I don't think. Like, there's no duel with the fates.
Right.
But he plays upon familiar themes really well.
Yeah. Yeah, which I liked a lot.
Yeah. But in any case, Kylo Ren kills Han Solo. It's really upsetting.
Yeah.
Harrison Ford sells the hell out of it. He's, like, really good. And, you know, it's one of those things, I mentioned that this movie has a lot of similarities with A New Hope. At a certain point in the movie, I began to realize that Han Solo has kind of slipped into the Obi-Wan role.
It's kind of Obi-Wan, yeah.
And
that's a good point.
As soon as they got to the new Death Star, Star Killer Base, as soon as they got, like, they started infiltrating it, I was like, oh no, Obi-Wan dies on the Death Star.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. That's a good point.
And then it happened. And the thing is, like, once they announced that Harrison Ford was coming back to the movie, like, when he was announced, like Harrison Ford reprising his role as Han Solo.
Right.
I was initially pretty surprised. I was hopeful that he would, but I was pretty surprised because Harrison Ford has been very vocal about not liking the role of Han Solo that much, and specifically that he wanted Han Solo to die in Return of the Jedi. Right?
Really?
And when he was cast, I was thinking to myself, maybe they're going to kill off Han Solo.
They bring him back just to kill him?
Yeah, like, I feel like that's the way that we get him to come back.
Right, that's a good point. That's something to think about.
And I guess that's what happened. Because
that's what happened.
Because now Han Solo is dead. And there's no Force ghost for this guy because he was not strong with the Force.
He's not Force sensitive. Or, yeah, whatever.
it was really upsetting. I think that's a really difficult scene to watch. And the second time, it even hit harder. Like, it's just...
Yeah.
You know,
especially Leia's reaction, because she's Force sensitive, I think, right? Because she's a Skywalker.
Yeah. So, and yeah, she has, like...
She feels it happen. It's like, oh, my God. Ugh. Twist the knife. It was so intense.
Yeah, and it does that. Like, of all the New Hope remixes, I think this one works the best.
The New Hope remixes? That's a perfect way to put it.
Yeah, I mean, literally, like... Okay, this movie opens with Oscar Isaac handing, like, plans to a droid to get back to the Rebels.
Yep.
And then, you know, after that, I mean, there's a new Death Star... Which I was not that big of a fan of the fact that there was a new Death Star, but I'll talk about that in a little bit. Okay. There's a cantina scene.
Yep.
There's Han Solo in the Obi-Wan role, and there's more. There's absolutely more. You know,
definitely. But I felt like those were more fan service things.
Yeah, but I mean, like I felt like.
But it does echo New Hope pretty hard.
Right, to the point where I do think it's a little bit derivative, but. In any case, like the movie works really well. I'm not trying to say I don't like it.
What do you feel about the Death Star? The new Death Star?
Well, the new Death Star, I mean, like I get it. Like I get why they did it.
Yeah.
But I mean, this is like the third time in 7 movies that we've seen them attack a Death Star.
Right.
The Death Star is about to destroy the base that they're on.
Yep.
Right?
Yep, that's a good point.
And I mean, this time around, like it kind of just looks like a bunch of CGI ships flying around trying to defeat it, and that's happening at the same time as this Han Solo death scene and the lightsaber fight between Kylo Ren and Rey, and both of those are way more interesting and emotional and intense. Whereas this Death Star thing is kind of just happening, and like didn't really feel like there was that much weight behind it, which is crazy because it just destroyed 5 planets at once.
I love how it's just like. We could blow up one planet, but let's just make a planet that can blow up 5 other planets. Like it's getting a little crazy.
Yeah, yeah. I did like it shows like, oh wait, so there's another Death Star, and Oscar Isaac's like, no, this was the Death Star.
Yeah.
This thing. It's just like gigantic. 17 times bigger than the original Death Star. Which is funny because like Death Star was like so big that they thought it was a moon when they first saw it.
And this thing is literally a planet with a gun on it.
Yeah, it's funny because before I saw this movie, the trailer for Independence Day Resurgence came out.
Yes,
right in front of it. And there's a similar thing where it's like, oh, well, this ship is bigger this time.
You're right.
And you see like the new alien spaceship and it's like way bigger. So it's like,
yep.
You know, Jurassic World was not great, but it hit the nail on the head.
I was just going to say that. That I may have not given Jurassic World enough credit with their sometimes or dinosaurs aren't enough anymore or whatever the line is.
Right. Needs more teeth.
Right. Needs more teeth.
Man,
that movie sucked.
Yeah. Which is funny because that's also Force Awakens plays to a lot of the same things that Jurassic World plays to. The nostalgia for this franchise kind of thing.
I was thinking of that before we started is that. You know, the hype train and all, like, the movies of your childhood, and I was drawing this, thinking that Jurassic World could have been Force Awakens could have ended up like Jurassic World, where I was, like, super excited, was like, yes, this is gonna be great, saw the trailer, for Jurassic World, and was like, maybe not so much, I don't know. Whereas for Force Awakens, I saw the trailer and didn't know anything about the movie still, and knew it was gonna be good. Or was hopeful it was going to be good.
Hopeful it was going to be good. And here we are.
There you go.
Yeah. And so I did want to talk about the final lightsaber fight between her, between Rey and Kylo Ren.
Because
that thing is awesome.
Holy shit.
Great, great fight. I mean, so the movie is like giving the lightsaber to Finn a lot of the time. As sort of like a red herring that like maybe Finn's a Jedi.
Right.
But then, you know, Rey gets like knocked down during the fight. Finn fights Kylo Ren for a little bit and then gets like beaten. Like, he gets, like, slashed in the back and, like, falls down. The lightsaber goes flying, and then Kylo Ren's, like, about
that
to, like,
was...
force it over to him. And then it just, like, flies over to Kylo Ren and then goes, whoop, nope, and and flies over to Rey.
Passed him to Rey.
And it is awesome. Like, it's so cool. And I, I want to nitpick the fact that Rey is so good at the Force so fast.
Right.
But at the same time, like, it just works so well in the movie. Like, I totally
yeah.
fine with it.
It also seems like we've turned the Force up to 11 in this movie. Yeah. Like, the fact that Kylo Ren can stop a blaster and can paralyze people.
Right.
Like, we've gone way past. And I wonder if that's just, like, a technological thing now that, like, we could film that.
That we can,
like,
we do
could,
that, yeah.
That we can do it.
Right.
So why not?
I mean, one of the interesting things about the original movie, and if you just look at it as one movie without taking the rest of the series into account, when that movie came out, if you watch that and don't think about any other Star Wars movie, you could make the argument that the Force doesn't actually exist. Because there's nothing in that movie that suggests that, like, you can... Like, nobody, like, moves a lightsaber from one end to another in that movie, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, the biggest thing is the Jedi mind trick, which you could just say, like, is... Like Obi-Wan being manipulative kind of thing.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, that's a good point. Other than Obi-Wan becoming a voice in his head.
But that could just be a voice playing in his head.
That's a good point. Yeah, like, that's a very good point.
That could just be him remembering Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't until like Empire that like, you know, you can see Luke move a lightsaber across. And even that takes a lot of effort, you know?
Right. Yeah. That's true.
And so it's crazy. It's interesting to me that like we came to this point where like, the Force might just be like a religion, like a spiritual thing. It's not actually
yeah.
like a thing. And now it's like, I can move this shit over here.
right.
All the way over here. And like,
yeah, that is one thing that kind of confuses me. I mean, it's just like, I guess a plot hole, the symptom of having so many movies and stuff is like, oh, that ancient religion from the original trilogy. Meanwhile, the prequels take place 30 years previous. like when that was like, how is that an
right.
ancient, like that nobody believes in anymore?
Right. I mean, like, well, all the Jedi were wiped out, right? And so
right,
the Jedi
that's true.
Had kind of, like, fallen into myth by the time the original trilogy happened.
In 30 years, though? That seems pretty quick.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know.
They just had, like, pretty lousy historians, I think.
I guess you're right. You're probably right.
Well, the galaxy is a big place, man. I mean...
Yeah, that's true.
You know.
Could be anything.
Could be. Could be.
But, yeah, you're right, though, that Rey does kind of immediately... become a Jedi Master.
Yeah, she gets like good at it right away. Like,
yeah.
And her first like time using it, her first time really trying to use the Force, that Jedi mind trick scene,
mm-hmm.
Which is really funny.
That was great. Yes,
it's really good. You know, that Stormtrooper was Daniel Craig.
Yes, I found that out afterwards, but still awesome.
Yeah. So that was really good. That was really funny. And you know, after that, you see her kind of starting to use the Force a little bit, and then just doing that final lightsaber fight between her and Kylo Ren, and again. She probably shouldn't be a match for Kylo Ren at this point, because Kylo Ren's been training his entire life.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Rey's just so good.
She's just so good, and it serves a point, like a plot. It's, you know, it adds tension. It's okay. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, and the fight is phenomenal. Like, it's just so much fun to watch, and it's, like, one of the best fights in the entire series, and, you know, I just really loved it.
I wonder if Finn has... something or some force sensitivity, or is that just a total red herring? Because he can wield a lightsaber pretty well.
Yeah, it's
not that he uses any abilities or anything, but
it seemed like it was a red herring. I mean, I feel like he got the lightsaber and he was doing okay with it, but I feel like that's mostly just like he's been training as a stormtrooper for a long time. He must know how to use weapons.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah,
and then somehow the stormtroopers have a thing that like can fight a lightsaber, which was weird.
That was cool.
that was awesome.
That was interesting. I thought that was a cool, fun weapon. What I did want to talk about with Finn is that, you know, his story is one that we haven't really seen in the Star Wars saga, which is like they decided to humanize a stormtrooper.
Yeah.
And bring him over to the good side. And I thought that was really interesting. That's something that like, yeah, that's new. We haven't seen that before.
Yeah, it was a really cool way to get into the Empire to see what that's like. Because we don't really know anything about them from the other films.
Right.
Like what it's like in there. And we get... I thought the way they differentiate Finn from the other stormtroopers before he takes his helmet off is really cool by having the guy smear the blood on his helmet.
Right.
As he's dying. It was just a really cool, like, I don't know. I like that. A nice touch.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the interplay between, Finn and Poe, especially
yeah.
in the beginning.
They're just total bromance immediately.
Yeah. that was great. That was really funny. I really hope they, like, when episode 8 rolls around, I'm guessing... it's going to be like Rey trading with Luke.
Yeah.
But like during that time, maybe like Finn and Poe could just be like hanging around having fun, like
doing war things going. Yeah, I assumed so. I'm also really interested to see Leia's role in the other films.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, I definitely want to see her reunited with Luke at some point.
Yeah, I'm sure we will.
Yeah, not doubting that, but
yeah. And it was also interesting, too, how Luke isn't found till he wants to be. I don't know. It was just an interesting way to have it. We know that R2-D2's in, like, sleep mode or whatever.
Right.
Once he left. But it's not like Luke came back and R2 woke up to give them the map. So it's almost like Luke
I could see that. Yeah, I was wondering about that, like R2-D2 just conveniently waking up and then having Luke's map.
Yeah, exactly.
I was actually wondering, like, why there was a map to Luke Skywalker in the first place.
Yeah, I know.
Just because,
would there be a map?
Like, who made that map? Did Luke make that map?
It seems like he must have,
But, like, he doesn't want to be found, so, like, why?
I know.
Why would he make a map for somebody to find?
Because he knew the Force would one day reawaken, Mike. So he made the map for when it was time they could find him. I assume. That scene was interesting.
If he knew the Force was going to reawaken, why doesn't he just go back?
Because he's got to be mysterious, Meg. It's a Star Wars movie. But what did you think of Thanos? I mean, Supreme Leader Snoke.
Nice.
That was my reaction. I was like, are you kidding me? Oh, okay. It's a hologram.
Yeah, I thought Snoke was cool. I thought his design was pretty neat. Andy Serkis plays Snoke, and he did a good job. He's only in a few scenes. Mm-hmm. But he could, I think he could be, an Emperor level.
Yeah, I think he's going to be an awesome villain.
Yeah, I think he could be very cool. But that is mostly set up for the future.
Right.
But yeah, he was good. I thought Domhnall Gleeson as General Hux was pretty fun.
I'm always excited when I see him now after having watched Black Mirror and also Ex Machina. I was like, oh shit, it's that dude.
Yeah, I did love his... I loved his scene where he's like giving a speech to all the stormtroopers and he's just shouting at the top of his lungs.
Yeah.
it was very overactory and
it was good.
Yeah. Who else? Gwendolyn Christie as Captain Phasma. Brienne from Game of Thrones.
Yes. I hope she's around, presumably, because we don't see her die.
Yeah, I think she's supposed to be in the next one. I think she's, confirmed to be in Episode 8 or whatever. And that was, she was signed, but she doesn't do too much in the movie. She's kind of just there. Mostly, she's just a cool-looking suit of armor.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a reflective, shiny stormtrooper.
Right.
It's awesome.
Yeah. She's carrying on the Boba Fett legacy of... character who has really cool armor that everybody likes, even though
they kind of just stand around and hold a gun.
Yeah, they don't do anything.
Don't really do much.
And if she is dead now, just like Boba Fett, she went out terribly.
Right. Yes. Yeah, I kind of forgot that about the original trilogy. I hadn't seen that or whatever about Boba Fett, and then was like, he's barely a character. Why does that? What?
Yeah, I think he's just super. Everybody likes his armor. Everybody likes the toy.
Basically. But yeah, I hope Phasma comes back. Because, I mean, you know, we get the fan service, put her in the garbage compactor.
Right.
But we know that they survived it. So it's possible that she could have, too.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah. Now, were there any specific lines or scenes that you thought were, really great? Anything we haven't discussed yet?
I actually liked Maz's new cantina scene.
I like that too. I liked Maz. I thought that was a really fun character design and really fun character. She seemed to kind of serve the same purpose as Yoda.
Right. There apparently somebody asked a question at some panel somewhere about Maz and Yoda, and somebody Lupita Nyong'o joked that Yoda was her first love, and then I think J.J. Abrams kind of stepped in and was like, blah, blah, gave a direct. Avoid the question answer. So people, because we know she's 1,000 years old, so it's possible, you know, that
they hooked up once or twice,
or that they came across each other at least. Because she's Force sensitive, at least.
Yeah,
in that scene, she says, "It's can you feel? I could feel the Force." Or I forget what she says exactly, but she's a really neat character.
Right.
I liked it.
Yeah, I thought, yeah, that was cool. And I liked all the, I thought Finn was a really funny character.
Yeah.
Like he had a lot of really funny moments. Specifically, my favorite line in the movie was when he and Han Solo are, like, trying to infiltrate the new Death Star. And Han's like, so how are we going to disable the shields? And he's like, oh, I don't know. It's like, you said you were... Like, you said you knew what you... Like, what department were you on? He's like, I was the sanitation department. And he's like...
Yeah.
And he's like, wait, so you don't know how to disable the shields? And it's like, yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll use the Force. And Han Solo is like, that's not how the Force works.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. There's a lot of stuff like that. Just like, I don't know. Finn is awesome. Confused that they didn't... He had to have an American accent. I mean, not that it really matters, but we have so many other British people.
Like, right, yeah.
Why not? Just, but he was convincing, which was good.
But yeah, and he has a lot of really funny scenes. I liked when he like first meets up with Rey, and he's like, what? Why do you go about Jakku? You got family? You got a boyfriend? You got a cute boyfriend?
Yeah, yeah. his delivery for a lot of stuff is perfect.
Yeah, and I thought Oscar Isaac also has a lot of really funny lines, specifically the opening where like he gets captured by Kylo Ren and they're like both on the ground and they're like staring at each other for a minute and Oscar Isaac's just like looking around like, wait, who talks first? Do I talk first? Do you talk first?
It's kind of hard to understand you with the mask and all.
Which I thought was like, that felt like it was like improv or something. Like it was really...
It might have been, I don't know. But yeah, I was glad that the comedic relief actually worked in this as opposed to the prequels.
Yes, definitely.
Where it didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, you still have, like, C-3PO in this movie doing his thing.
That was a great reveal.
Yeah.
When Han and Leia are just looking at each other, like, really tender moment.
Yeah,
and C-3PO just pokes his head into the frame. There was stuff, a lot of stuff like that, that made the movie that much better, I think. Like, when they're on the Millennium Falcon and Finn leans against the table and the, like, whatever space chess...
Right,
whatever that thing is. Yeah, I can't remember what game it's called. But that pops up. Like, stuff like that was neat. I don't know.
Yeah.
And the reveal of the Millennium Falcon, I thought that was actually really perfect.
That was very well done. Yeah, because they were, like, running past it, and it's like, why don't we go to that ship? Like, no, that one's garbage. And they the ship they're running to blows up, and it's like, the garbage will do, and it pans over, and it's the Millennium Falcon. It's like, ah. Yeah, that was cool. I did, like, one of my favorite scenes was the... scene where they're in the Millennium Falcon and Han Solo and Chewie have just showed up, and then the two gangs
who Han
has screwed over like both show up as well. One of the gangs, by the way, was played by like three of the actors from the Raid 2.
What, really? Oh yeah. Yeah, it was,
which is kind of neat.
That's awesome.
Supposedly they had like some sort of say in the choreography of this movie.
Makes sense,
which yeah, because they made the Raid, so they're allowed to.
Yeah. They can do whatever they want.
Yeah. And then there's the whole, like, the monsters that are attacking them. I thought that was a lot of fun, that whole sequence.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's also cool, I mean, for Rey, just how, like, we keep talking about how she is super awesome with the Force immediately, basically.
She's also really good at opening and closing doors, which plays a pivotal role in, like, at least two scenes of this movie.
Right. I was going to say that, but it's nice to see her be super capable and even more capable than the other characters a lot of the times. She saves Finn in that scene when she closes the door on the monster.
Yeah.
And saves Finn with the lightsaber again. Like, she does a lot of awesome shit.
Yes.
And I'm glad that we have a character like that in Star Wars.
Yeah. Definitely. All right. So, I mean, is there anything else you want to talk about Force Awakens, Mike?
Well, can we just talk about the whole movie, Mike?
More so than we already have.
Yeah. Is there any scene we left out? I don't think so.
I mean, I feel like we've covered it pretty well. So I think, before we finish the podcast, I would like to speculate about the future of Star Wars. You know, where do you think it's going to go from here?
Well, I wonder whose daughter Rey is, because we see the flash when she touches the lightsaber of her being left on Jakku.
Right.
Which, you know, kind of echoes Tatooine as like a just barren desert, shitty planet.
Yeah, that is a, like, all the planets in this movie. Like, I wasn't, like, they all just kind of echoed other planets in the Star Wars saga. I feel like I would have liked to see more inventiveness with the planets in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Although I guess they are limited by Earth, so it makes sense that they would do the same kind of planet. But yeah, it would be nice to get more than forest, desert, snow.
Right.
I wonder who, you know, who was leaving her there. And it seems like it's a Skywalker, I would assume.
Right. I feel like there's four options, right? Yes. There's Obi-Wan Kenobi's granddaughter.
Right.
Or daughter. I don't know.
Or daughter. But I feel like Kenobi probably kept the Jedi vows.
Could have. Yeah, probably did. Although after the Jedi were done, you know.
That's true. Yeah. I don't know.
Yes. Or Skywalker, or Luke's daughter.
Yep.
Or Han and Leia's daughter.
Right.
Or Emperor Palpatine.
Oh, man. They're all, like, any one of those would be great. I would be okay with any one of those.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I feel like the Palpatine one's a long shot. It's got to be one of the heroes, probably, but.
Probably. Yeah. That would be the most interesting one, but I doubt that it will happen. I feel like it's probably either Han and Leia or Luke.
Yeah. I mean, I was talking to my brother about this, and he was like, yeah, I don't want them to reveal that she's, like, a Skywalker. Because yeah. It's like, what, are there, like, 45 people in the galaxy?
That's what I was thinking that, too. Like, I feel like they're... I mean, I get that all the other Jedi were killed, and it, like, makes sense that they... But, like... Give another family a chance. I don't know. It would be really cool to see a new family, like a new Jedi, like
a
new.
Yeah, I really want them to like really expand the universe going forward. And I think with the spinoff, they are trying to do that. So the next one coming out is going to be next year. It's called Star Wars Rogue One,
right?
And that's going to be the movie about the rebels who steal the Death Star plans right before the original movie came out.
Right, which is something I had forgotten that the Death Star plans had been stolen. So, like, as soon as the opening scroll started, I was like, no wonder they're doing that movie.
Cool.
I was like, wow. Like, when I heard about Rogue One, I was like, that's such a cool idea. Like, wow. And then I saw, I just rewatched New Hope and was like, oh.
But, yeah, so, I mean, that movie sounds awesome, and the cast of that movie is really cool. You got, like, Felicity Jones in the lead role, and Alan Tudyk, and Mads Mikkelsen, and a bunch of other people as well. And Gareth Edwards is doing that, who directed Godzilla, the recent one, and Monsters. So I'm pretty stoked for that, and it sounds like it's going to be a really different kind of Star Wars movie than we've experienced before.
Yeah, that's the thing I'm most excited about for the other... What are they? There's Star Wars story movies.
They were calling them Star Wars anthologies. Anthology movies. And now I think the official title of the movie is Rogue One, a Star Wars story.
Okay.
Something like that.
Yeah. But I like that idea to expand the universe in that way.
Yes.
And to explore new stuff. Kind of like how Marvel does, you know, the like kind of lesser. Not lesser, but like the other not Avenger movies are like each their own genre, which I kind of hope they do for Star Wars.
Yeah,
which definitely. I assume they will because it's Disney. So
yeah, I mean it's the same. Like I think they're following the same kind of pattern, and I mean that's what they're trying to do with the spinoffs is trying to make each one kind of their own distinct flavor, while doing the main ones and you know the main Star Wars kind of like what you expect from a Star Wars movie,
right.
But I'm hopeful that Rian Johnson with his episode 8 can deliver something really awesome. I feel like the foundation that episode 7 leaves is like super awesome and really great. And like, it leaves in a really great note for Rian Johnson. Just take over and kick ass.
Yeah. Somebody is going to have to really fuck up for them to mess up the rest of the movies after episode 7.
Yeah. And then after episode 8, the Han Solo movie, which is going to be directed by Phil Lord and Chris Miller. So that's exciting.
That's insane.
Yeah. And I mean, now it makes a little more sense that they can do the Han Solo movie because now Han Solo is dead in the regular ones. So they can do like the young Han Solo and it won't clash with the old Han Solo.
Yeah.
Type deal.
That's a point.
And then they're going to do episode 9 directed by Colin Trevorrow, director of Jurassic World. So
RIP Star Wars.
I mean, you never know. You never know. I feel like, I mean, Rian Johnson's developing the story of that movie.
Okay.
Episode 9. So, yeah. There's
involved.
There's hope. There's a new hope.
There is a new hope. And it has a week.
There is another.
Yeah. Oh, man. It was so good.
So, yeah. I mean, final thoughts, Mike. You enjoyed episode 7?
Yes, I walked out of the theater and wanted to just turn around and see it again.
But, yeah, I basically did just that. I mean, I went to see it opening night, and then like less than 24 hours later, I was seeing it again.
Good job.
You know, it's a blast, and it's just awesome to have new Star Wars in our lives, and you know, it's cool, it's fun.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess that about wraps it up for our Star Wars Force Awakens podcast, Mike.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So, where can we find you online this week?
You find me at twitter.com/mdfilmblog, and if you're interested in Dungeons and Dragons things, sometimes my group and I stream our game on Twitch, so that's at twitch.tv/geonerd79.
Okay, twitch.tv/geonerd79.
Yes.
You can find me at filmbook.com, where I podcast about various things like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Gotham. You can find our other podcast, The Complete Works, where we are going through the entire career of Nicolas Cage, also on filmbook.com. Thank you for listening to Film Book Cast. If you're listening to this review via our podcast on iTunes, please subscribe to our podcast, rate it, take a moment to give us a review. Any and all feedback, compliments, topic discussions, even hate mail can be sent directly to podcast@filmbook.com. Please list the podcast you were emailing about in the title of your email. We produce so many different ones, it's hard to keep track. We would love to hear from you. Join us on the next Film Book Cast, where Mike and I will hopefully be discussing the new movie from Quentin Tarantino, The Hateful Eight, and hopefully we'll be reviewing the 70mm Roadshow presentation of the movie.
I can only hope.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's going to be exciting. Like, we're going to try to see that sometime next week, I think.
Yep.
I'm pumped. For it, man. Yeah. I've heard only awesome things, heard really good things, so that's exciting.
Yes. It should be dope.
Yes. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening to Film Book Cast. We are out.
Oh, my, am I this here Anakin guy? Maybe Vader someday later, now he's just a small fry. He left his home and kissed his mommy goodbye, saying soon I'm gonna be a Jedi. Soon I'm gonna be a Jedi.